Alyssa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best names. Chicago Bulls game analyst Stacey King.
The one thing about this team is that they're resolved. I mean, they continue to fight through injuries. We have guys on the bench that are stepping up. Our depth has been one of the reasons why we're one of the better teams in the NBA.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Welcome back to another edition of the Big E Sports Show right here at eradiosports.com. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. And in our first segment, we are getting set to talk some Sooner women's basketball because once again, head coach Sherry Cole led her Sooners to an impressive NCAA run to earn a spot in the Sweet 16 in Oklahoma City. We're going to take time to reflect on this past year. We also want to visit with her about a very exciting opportunity to lead Team USA in the 2013 Women's World University Games this summer in Russia. It is always a true pleasure. Welcome back, Sherry. It's great to have you with us and Boomer Sooner this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, first of all, let's reflect on this past year because, of course, it was a roller coaster ride. You unfortunately had a repetitive theme of dealing with a lot of injuries. You lost four players, your shining star in Whitney Han, but despite all the adversity, you managed to get the Sooner women to the Sweet 16. How did you do it?
A lot of challenges, obviously, and yet just opportunities for the character of the kids on our team to shine through, and that's really what happened. We just had a lot of kids make good decisions. They decided to show up every day and give the best that they could and to adapt and morph into whatever roles we needed them to adapt to, and they pulled together and believed in each other and displayed what I think is the finest about our program. And that's just a willingness to unite and play for one another and play for the name on the front of the jersey. And the group did it as well as any group I've ever had.
Everyone's roles had to change. Of course, it was such a huge setback to lose Whitney Han. She was the heart. She was the core. But can you talk about how she responded? Because she continued to rejuvenate her teammates, continued to show that leadership and help them stay focused on their goals intact.
Well, that was a hard one. I mean, each one of them was difficult. But as the injuries began to pile up, with each passing one, it became a little more difficult. And then Whitney was the one that really just the final blow and affected us in so many ways. Because there were four kids that would have played significant minutes, potentially four starters, out of the lineup. And then we had a fifth-year senior. And my first reaction, he really was, you know, why this kid? You know, she's been through so much.
Right.
Scarcely had one season at Oklahoma in which she was completely healthy. Her freshman year, she was healthy until late in conference play, and she broke her finger. And from that point forward, she really hadn't been 100% in all the time that she's been here. And yet, the things that she has led our team to have been remarkable. And so my first instinct was just to take care of her and figure out a way to help her put one foot in front of the other and get to the next day. And then I knew immediately that she would make the decision to be completely and wholly invested in what we were trying to do. When by far the easiest thing to do would be maybe to show up but to not really be there, because being there every day means that the wound stays open. You don't get to heal. And she made the decision every day to be completely there. And everything we went through as a group, every tough game, every loss, every what appeared to be insurmountable mountain in front of us, she approached as though she were still in uniform, playing every single game. And there's no way we do what we did this year and find ourselves in the Sweet 16 without Whit's spirit and her leadership and her belief in our team.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You're hearing the familiar voice of Sherry Cole, Oklahoma's head women's basketball coach. We were just talking about Whitney Han, that despite her injury, she continued to stay immersed and played such a pivotal role in their deep run in the NCAA tournament. And Sherry, I know last time when you were on our program, you were in the heat of the battle in the season, and you really had just lost Whitney to her injury. And I know you were a little bit hesitant to talk about and expound on what she has meant to the program, not just as a player, because she really is an exceptional young lady. And I have to ask you, I mean, could you envision seeing her perhaps being on your coaching staff one day because of with her leadership, her discipline, and her passion that really shines through?
Oh, I would be thrilled to have Whitney with me if she wanted to, no doubt about that. She's got a lot of things she wants to do. Whitney's bucket list is pretty deep and pretty long, and I expect she'll check a lot of things off in the course of the next few years. But she's one of the most extraordinary student athletes with whom I've ever been associated. I can't think of a more complete kid that I've ever had an opportunity to coach. Just in every way, she made things better. And I think her legacy always will be with our program, that she re-inspired a sense of mission and a sense of purpose, made it real and fresh again, that there's a way that we do things, and there's a goal that we're going for that's even greater than winning basketball games and winning the national title. There's just a right way to be and a right way to do things. And she left that legacy in the very real life of a student athlete who got an opportunity to play with her. And that's always such a big thing. It's one thing to be everything that you can be for a team, but then to be willing and able to pass that on to the people who will be responsible for ensuring its life after you're gone. And that's what Whitney has done. She has poured herself into those student athletes who will return. And they know, as a result, they know how to lead in the right way. And that's one of those gifts that keeps on giving. Whitney's presence will continue to be with us because she left so much of herself in those of us who had an opportunity to coach and play alongside of her.
Well, Sherry, as we look ahead towards the future, I mean, every team is different. They have its own personality. Describe the group that you're going to be working with as you look ahead, because it continues to be just an exceptional class, and that is what Oklahoma women's basketball is about.
You know, we sat in the press room after the game and the loss to Tennessee in the Sweet 16, and I listened to Shireen Campbell talk about the lessons she had learned from these four seniors and what she was most excited about in the future, and I could not help but smile through the tears. I thought about how much that kid has grown and how you could almost visually see the leadership baton being handed from one group of kids to another. And I don't know that I've ever had a group as excited about getting started on the next year as these guys were. The day after we got back, you know, Sunday night and Monday, there were kids in the gym shooting. I looked out the window of my office and thought, what in the world? We all got together and started talking about next year and what they were going to do and how much fun they were going to have, and they were ready. And that probably speaks volumes, really as great of a reflection of the senior class as you could hope, because that's what they left in those kids.
Well, if you're a Sooner women's basketball fan or just a fan in women's basketball, you've got to be excited because you will be returning an exceptional young lady in Erin Ellenberg, who was an honorable mention All-American and, of course, was the Sooners' leading scorer this year with 18 points per game. Just talk about what her future looks like.
Well, obviously, Vegas is where the conversation will begin next year for everyone. She had a remarkable junior season, especially in light of what had happened when every team came in game-planning particularly for her. And, you know, with Whitney out of the lineup and the changes in our post play as a result of KK being out and Maddie Manning not being in the lineup, Lindsay, et cetera, Vegas became game plan number one for everybody. And she still averages 18 points a game and led the Big 12 in three-point shooting percentage and played 38 minutes a game for us. I mean, just a phenomenal year. But alongside of her, you have Morgan Hook and Nicole Griffin, who also played almost every minute of every game this year as juniors, and both grew exponentially. You have Shireen Campbell, who showed herself, the bigger the game, the better she played, down the stretch as a sophomore who will be playing more like a senior in her junior season. You'll get a healthy KK Williams back, and she had just figured it out as a freshman and had a tremendous, tremendous spring and summer last year before her injury in October. So a lot of people will not remember the presence and the rebounding that she can give us. So obviously she'll add to that post depth. And then Maddie Manning, what a talent. Nobody has any idea what that kid's going to be like and what she's going to be able to do. With four full years, obviously she and Kay got a full medical red shirt. So KK will have 3 years and Maddie will have four. And Nicole Cornett grew up over the course of the season as a freshman, gave us more and more significant minutes as the season wound down. Portia Durrett will find herself. She lost her confidence, and she's got to get that back together. But there are things that she can do, obviously, to help us. And then we add three very talented freshmen who will come in and play roles from great passers to great shooters to great rebounders. Shea Kellogg is an instinctive rebounder. Derek Wyatt is a three-point specialist. And Joy Carter is a tremendous athlete who can do just about anything she wants with the basketball.
Sherry Cole with us just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We reflected on this past season and we look forward to the future. But Sherry, tell us a little bit about as far as this summer. It's going to be very ambitious for you. You will be leading Team USA 2013, the Women's World University Games in Russia. Wow.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I'm humbled and I'm honored that I get an opportunity to do that. I've been associated with USA Basketball in a variety of roles over the last decade, but this is a special one, being charged with the leadership of the World University team of some very talented players. We'll have those tryouts in Colorado Springs in May, and the finest college basketball players with remaining eligibility will be among those that are chosen for our team. And then have a unique opportunity to work alongside of Brian Georges, the head coach at Marist, and Coach Washington, head coach at Penn State University. Both of those guys, just I have a ton of respect for them and for their basketball knowledge and for the way they run their programs and treat young people. So I'm just honored to have them on my staff. We'll spend a good part of the summer, June, training in Colorado Springs, and then July, a couple of exhibition games and a trip to Russia and an opportunity to pursue a gold medal. So it's going to be a very exciting summer, a very busy summer, but one that I think will be refreshing for me and for those athletes. Anytime you get to wear red, white, and blue and represent this great country, it's a special, special endeavor.
Sherry, do you know as far as the television, will there be coverage on these games that we can kind of track and keep up with you?
You know what, E? I'm not sure. We'll have our first organizational meeting this weekend at the Final Four, and as we know more, we'll make sure that we get that out to you.
We are with Sherry Cole. Just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big East Sports Show as we get set to close out this interview, making big headlines. We wanted you to weigh in on this. Of course, Brittany Griner, spectacular career at Baylor. But the big news this week was perhaps she might have an opportunity to make history. The Dallas Mavericks owner, Mark Cuban, comments that he would perhaps be open to drafting her if she could prove worthy in a pre-draft workout. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, buddy, there's been an age-old conversation going on in the coaching ranks for years and years and years. Is a woman going to cross over and coach a men's collegiate team or a men's professional team or whatever you want to have the conversation about? And my feeling on that is very similar in that we have a league. The Women's Professional League needs great players. We need the best players in our sport. We have a place to perform. Brittany Griner in the WNBA has an opportunity to be tremendously impactful, and I think that's why we have a league and why the league survives.
Sherry Cole has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, but you got to love Mark Cuban. I mean, a dynamic owner, but a progressive thinker. Hey, we love that.
He is always outside the box. You can count on him for that.
Definitely. Well, listen, safe travels. Enjoy the Women's Final Four, and thanks for dropping by, Sherry.
Thank you.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead with Sally Jenkins this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. Stay close.
Did you know that Complete Production Services is one of North America's leading oilfield service providers, offering field support solutions, equipment, and well production optimization and enhancement to some of the largest oil and gas companies? Complete Production is fully committed to developing solutions for your operating environment and can handle any oilfield demands, well servicing, and rentals. Most importantly, they are committed to superior customer service and also focus on safety and the environment. Service, expertise, innovation. Complete Production Services. Join us online at CompletePproductionServices.com.
Elissa Walker Campbell is on the air, asking the questions you want to know, with the biggest and best names in sports, like Basketball Hall of Famer Nancy Lieberman.
I've been through the minor leagues. I've ridden buses. I know what it's like to want something so bad that you can taste it. You can taste it.
Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Elissa Walker Campbell.
Okay, our women's basketball conversation continues on as we have scheduled a very special interview with nationally known sports writer with the Washington Post, Sally Jenkins. She has just released a brand new book on the legendary basketball coach Pat Summitt, who opens up and shares about the lessons she has learned during her extraordinary life on and off the court. It is an incredible read. I have to share with all the listeners out there that on my flight to LA this week, I could not put it down. It was just an amazing book. So Sally, first of all, thank you for the time and congratulations. I know that you're the author, you're the co-author of 9 books, but what kind of feedback have you received from this? Because it's the perfect time of year to release it with the Women's Final Four going on.
Well, the best feedback we got was hitting number 1 on the bestseller list. And it was a lot of fun to make that phone call and call Pat Summit up and say, hey, Pat, you're number one. And then I realized, well, she hears that all the time. It actually was nothing new for her. but we're both thrilled that the book has gotten such a great reception. It was a labor of love for both of us, and so it's just very gratifying.
Yes, you guys teamed up on that. And I have to share, you know, I'm a former women's basketball player, and there were so many things as I went through it that I could identify with, the love of the game that she has, but also as a mother. I thought that you went into depth about that and the challenge of multitasking and juggling so many different responsibilities. Pat Summit truly is, we know her as a coach, but she is a woman of inspiration.
You know, the book really is the story of you know, a working woman in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. It's, you know, my publisher at the Washington Post for many years was Catherine Graham, and her memoir, Living History, was very similar. And I had the same kind of sensation writing Pat's book with her that I did in reading Mrs. Graham's book. You know, Pat really lived history. She lived, you know, gender politics in sports through Title IX. She really lived the women's movement, although she wasn't, you know, very active politically. You know, she lived out all of those issues, and most of the stories in the book are really about a woman attempting to work and make a home and raise a son while becoming the world's greatest basketball coach.
38 years at the helm at the University of Tennessee, the head women's coach of the Lady Vols. And it really is, as you go through the book, it is titled Summit Up, Pat Summit with Sally Jenkins. It is a remarkable journey. She's had such a full life. She's faced a ton of adversity personally and professionally, but so successful. I mean, the first NCAA Division I coach to achieve more than 1,000 wins, co-captain of the first U.S. women's Olympic basketball team. And I think, you know, I wanted to get to know Coach Summit more and find out what is the source of her strength, and what was the inspiration for her and to be able to achieve such a high level of success?
Well, she was always trying to prove something. You know, Pat okay. has a very deep burn. She wanted to prove she was the equal of her brothers. She wanted to earn the approval of her father, who was this very stern tobacco farmer from Henrietta, Tennessee. She wanted to better herself. I think a lot of it was an act of self-creation. Pat is very self-made. Her entire family is very self-made. I think Pat's life and career is one long attempt to say to herself and to other people, you are who you say you are, not who other people tell you you are.
And it truly was for her, as you were talking about some of those early days growing up in Henrietta, Tennessee. It was kind of survival of the fittest for Pat Summit because she had three brothers, and she learned a lot about as far as discipline and her work ethic and keeping up with them, right?
You know, those stories are, you know, can sound very quaint. Oh, Pat Summit grew up learning to play basketball in a barn with her brothers. But then you meet those brothers, and uh-huh. they're like 6'6". I mean, they're huge. And it was all elbows and fists. And she literally had to fight her way through those games. And not only, I mean, she gave as good as she got. Her brothers speak in the book about how there was a gallery door at the top of the hayloft, and if you messed with Pat, she'd push you through the door into a 10-foot drop to the hay bales below. She could throw an elbow with the best of them.
Sally Jenkins is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to encourage you to go out and get a copy of their brand new book. It is titled Summit Up. She teamed up with Pat Summit, and it is a fascinating read, to say the least. And, you know, you had just talked about as far as Pat's relationship with her father, and I know there's some wonderful pictures that you include in the book, but she was 43 years old before she got her first hug, and I love you from her dad. Is that true?
That's true. It's an absolutely true story. Her father was not very expressive. He was very laconic, mostly because he was tired from farming all day. I mean, Richard started life as a $4-a-day hired hand. They literally were dirt farmers. You know, the first home that they had was a log cabin with no running water or electricity. Pat remembers the pump handle from the well off the back porch. You know, that's how they got their water. I mean, it was very primitive. Early existence for the whole family, and Richard was tired a lot of the time, too tired to talk. He was very loving in some ways, but just didn't show it in others. And so, you know, he gave Pat a lot. He was a wonderful provider, and he made the ultimate sacrifice when he moved his entire family to a beat-up old farmhouse across the county line just so that Pat could play basketball and continue her athletic career. He gave her everything but a hug. And she finally got the hug, but it took her 43 years.
But that generation was like that, though, Sally, not real demonstrative in terms of affection, right?
Well, he could be plenty demonstrative when it came to using his belt. The kids grew up with a lot of corporal punishment. It was the time and the place where you did that with kids. He could be very fearsome. I mean, they were all terrified of him. But he was also, again, very generous, very, very loving in terms of giving his kids opportunities.
What did Pat share about her relationship with her mother? Because there in the book, you do pay a special tribute to her mom, who, as you said, you know, did triple duty on the farm, in the house, and at the store that she and her husband, Pat's father, owned.
Well, you know, Pat never understood it when people would try to tell her about gender difference and that there were some things that women couldn't do, because her mother worked side by side. You know, on a farm, there's no such thing as women's work and men's work.
Right.
There's just work. And everybody had to do it equally. And so her mom, you know, could lift an 80-pound milk can, and Pat was throwing hay bales along with her brother. So whenever someone would say, well, women aren't strong enough to play full-court basketball, or women aren't strong enough to run marathons, you know, Pat would say, don't tell me we're not strong enough. So she had a very visceral education in what women could do from her mother.
We are talking about Pat Summitt, one of the all-time greats, men and women's basketball coaches, to ever be on the sideline. Really set the standard of excellence for the women's game. And I'm sure that a lot of those lessons that she learned on the farm, those, you know, carried over to the game of basketball, right? And with her work ethic and her approach to the game.
Sure. I mean, Pat always said, you know, her father would say hard work never killed anybody. But Pat always felt like, well, some days she felt like it could kill her.
Mm-hmm.
She then imported that to her players. And she would tell them, hard work's not going to kill you. You may just feel that way every once in a while. So she basically took all of the lessons about intensity and hard work that she learned on the farm and gave them to her players. In a day and time when most coaches really didn't coach women with that sort of physical intensity or mental intensity, you know, there's a famous episode between Pat and one of her point guards, Michelle Marciniak. Pat was very confrontational, and after they lost the 1995 national championship game to UConn, Pat had a team meeting, and she pointed her finger at Michelle Marciniak and said, who in this room thinks we'd have won a national championship if Michelle Marciniak had her head screwed on straight?
Wow.
It was a very confrontational, difficult thing to do with a young woman, but Pat really believed in that sort of confrontation because she really loved her players and believed they had more in them than they knew. And lots of the stories in the book are about that. They're about Pat attempting to persuade young women that they're really capable of more than they think they are.
Sally, I'm so glad you brought up Michelle Marciniak, because one of the great stories in there, of course, is when Coach Summitt was recruiting her and was in full labor. You've got to relive that story for us and share a little bit about that as far as, you know, Pat getting on a plane with her assistant coach to get Michelle Marciniak to come to the University of Tennessee. It's amazing.
It, you know, it's so Pat. I mean, Pat's the only person I know who could hold back labor pain. She literally, her water broke on the airplane when she was going to Pennsylvania to recruit Michelle Marciniak. And her assistant coach, Mickey DeMoss, was with her. And Mickey was so terrified that she was belting shots of bourbon.
it's a great story.
The pilots were uh-huh. making an emergency landing in Virginia. And Pat said, don't you dare. My child is not going to be born in Virginia, because the Lady Vols had lost the previous season to Virginia in the NCAA tournament. So she made the pilots keep flying until they got to Tennessee so her son could be born a Tennessean. But that's Pat. She's such a force of nature that she actually held back childbirth.
How did motherhood change her?
Well, it made her more creative as a teacher. I think that's probably the biggest thing that it did for her. Lots of people like to say that it sort of softened her, but I don't think it really did that. There certainly she was every bit as confrontational after Tyler's birth as she was before it. I think what it did was it made her a better teacher. She got to study her son's little mind developing, and it gave her lots of ideas about how to reach kids. That's the main thing that it did. It might have made her a little more patient, a little more sympathetic, you know, those sorts of things. But for the most part, I think what it did was it really merged the personal and the professional to her. After Tyler came, her son was really raised in the locker room because she never wanted basketball to be something that took his mother away from him. She included him in everything, and he was really reared on the bench and in the locker room. There's photographs of her in the book with a baby on her shoulder while she's in the locker room writing instructions on the board.
There's no doubt that Tyler is definitely the love of her life. And I think it's really cool, too, Sally, that he's following in his mother's footsteps. What, he is an assistant coach at Marquette University?
He is an assistant coach at Marquette. He's only 22 years old, and he's already a top assistant coach in the women's game. A lot of people think he's really on the fast track to become a head coach sooner rather than later. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Pat started her career as a head coach when she was 22. I could see Tyler becoming a head coach by the time he's 23 or 24, certainly.
Sally Jenkins is with us just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. If you want to listen to this entire interview, we want to encourage you to go to our radio website. It is at eradiosports.com. And Sally, you were talking about just a moment ago as far as when Tennessee, they lost to Connecticut. In fact, they lost twice to Connecticut in 95. And I thought what was really amazing is, you know, Pat Summitt was always about recreating herself, taking her game to the next level. Not, it wasn't just about the players, but the coaches too. And she wanted to get a grip on UConn's triple post offense, and she was determined to beat it. And so the way that she did that is she turned to the men's game. Take it from there, Sally.
Well, she called up Phil Jackson and said, I'd really like to learn this offense. And so she and her staff went up and stayed for 3 days and watched the Chicago Bulls practice, had meetings with Phil Jackson and his coaches, and she really learned and mastered the triple post because UConn had used it to beat her team. And she basically said, well, I'm going to get a grip on this. I'm going to learn how to defend it. And in learning how to defend it, she learned how to run it. And then came back and won three straight national championships with it in 96, 97, and 98. Which, again, that's very Pat. You know, she never takes a loss lying down.
Sally Jenkins, what would you say? I mean, does Pat ever talk to you about as far as perhaps what was her favorite national championship? I mean, you were just rattling off. She's won so many.
You know, that's like picking a favorite child.
I know. Yeah, it's tough.
You know, she really, I think the 90s, those championships in 96, 97, and 98 were all so different. They were equally difficult in different ways. But the 98 team that went 39-0, I think she felt something really transcendent with that team that I'm not sure she ever felt again. They were the closest to perfection that she would ever experience. But you know, perfection is not always your favorite experience. I think she loved that experience, but she also loved the 2007 and 2008 teams very deeply, and they weren't very perfect. They lost a lot of ball games, and they were a real work in progress for a lot of that time. But some of the kids on that team came from such difficult circumstances that she had just an inordinate pride in them. And by the way, some of her favorite teams never won championships. Some of her very favorite teams ended up in the Final Four but lost. Winning wasn't always her ultimate measure, and she talks about that in the book.
Tell us about how Coach Pat Summitt is doing today. I mean, she's got a very courageous approach with Alzheimer's. And when did some of these first symptoms, when did this start happening?
Well, you know, the first symptoms really started probably, I would say, in about, looking back on it, mm-hmm. about 2010, maybe very late 2009. You know, I think that her friends became really concerned in 2010. That, you know, everybody knew something was off. And she finally went to the Mayo Clinic for a full workup and got the Alzheimer's diagnosis. You know, it's progressive. She certainly suffered some decline. That said, none of the things that she's declining in are critical areas. She is fully lucid, active, goes to work every day, works out five times a week.
Great.
Knows where she is and who she is and who we all are. And, you know, that's 2 years out of the diagnosis. That's terrific. You know, she's going to do her level best to fight as hard as she can and see where science takes her. Scientists are working every day on some kind of remedy for this disease.
It is certainly a great challenge. We want to encourage you to go out and get a copy of Sally Jenkins. She's an award-winning sports writer. The brand new book, Sum It Up, with Pat Summitt and Sally Jenkins. Outstanding work. And we look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Thank you so much for taking time.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.